Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to come together on this day to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and to hear your words. And so, Lord, our prayer this morning is that you may speak to our hearts, speak to our souls, and later in our minds so that we may see the things that you want to teach us through your word. Thank you, Jesus, because you are going to do it, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Why don't you turn again to your neighbor and wish them a Merry Christmas? Tell them it is so good to see you. Wow. I mean, it's a joy and a privilege for me to once again be appointed to be the one sharing God's words with you this morning. On this beautiful morning, as we are being reminded of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So why don't you open your Bible with me in the book of John. John chapter 1 from 11 to 14. The Bible says, John chapter 1 verse 11 to 14. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. So the topic that I was given this morning for this passage is the implications of the presence of God who became flesh in the believer's life. That's such a very long title. So when I was trying to rename it, I decided to call it Christ is Born, So What? I know it sounds a little mean, but it's my mother tongue. It's even funnier because they say Christ is born, Nerio. Christ is born, so what? So, has it ever happened to you to miss out on someone while that person is so close? You are looking for someone and that person is so close to you, but you don't recognize them. I think that has happened to someone here. And when I was sharing this with my wife, she told me about one instance when she was beside someone that she was looking for without knowing that person. And it's the day when she went to the beauty salon to do her hair. And so she went there looking for her stylist. She sat because she saw everyone was busy working, doing the hairs of the client. And then she sat beside another lady. But little did she know that the lady who was beside her was the stylist who was supposed to do her own hair. And so the lady who was also there waiting for her stood up, went outside. At a certain point, my wife became so annoyed that she asked the other ladies, so where is the person who is supposed to take care of me? And then those ladies just looked at her surprised. But she was just beside you. She was just beside you. She was seated beside you. And it's in this a very similar context that we start the reading of the passage that was assigned to us for the sermon this morning. Because John, in the first chapter, 11, he said, Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him. They did not recognize him. Christmas, or the Mass of Christ, is widely celebrated around the world. And for most of us, we say it's the most wonderful time of the year. And for many, it may be for commercial reasons. This is when the Christmas sale skyrockets, right? But as a story amateur, I call it the most successful subversive event in the history of our faith. Because some of you may know, before the 4th century, the church did not celebrate Christmas. It was considered, these traditions were considered as pagan tradition. They were actually pagan celebration and practices. But when Christianity grew in power, grew in influence, they decided to change this pagan's celebration into a celebration of the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But before then, the first church did not celebrate Christmas. This tradition has become part of our culture and has brought so much meaning in the lives of countless people around the world. And some of this meaning can be an opportunity to gather as a family. I heard my brother who said that he went to Nairobi for studies and he's back home because it's Christmas, right? You want to reconnect with your family during the Christmas season. For us, it can also be this tradition of Christmas trees, but you know that not so Christian tradition. It's called the evergreen. It was a tradition probably in England that was not Christian, but we adopted it for this season. It's also a season where we exchange gifts. Christmas also is the season where we have the Santa Claus, right? We know the Grinch, you know, Home Alone, all these movies. The culture has appropriated itself the Christmas season, right? And it's very possible that in the midst of all business, of all this cultural appropriation, that we may miss out on the reason for the season, right? The reason for the season. We may end up missing the reason for the season and its implications on our lives. Just like John described it, that he came to his own and his own people did not receive him. Because we are so busy, we have made it something else that is not supposed to be. It can also be for deeper spiritual reason that people miss the reason for the season. Because John started his chapter by saying that in him was life and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. The reality is the world is in darkness. People are pursuing other things, counterfeit saviors who are not Jesus Christ. Who are not Jesus Christ. And that can make people lose the meaning for the season. It can also be entitlement. Just like the Jews, they knew that they were the chosen people. And because of that entitlement, they didn't recognize that the Messiah has come. It can also be familiarity. Familiarity can also breed unbelief. Because you know someone, you've worked with them. I always wonder, the people who grew up with Jesus, who played with him when he was still a child, if he came to them as an adult and said, I am a son of God, they would be like, no way, Jesus, stop joking with us, right? Because familiarity can breed unbelief as well. Because truly this season is a celebration of Jesus Christ coming into the world. And it has so much meaning. It has some key things about the faith that we profess. It reminds us of some key things about the faith that we profess. And the first thing that we see in our passage that this season can remind us of is the privilege of those who welcome, receive Christ and believe in him. The privilege of those who welcome and receive Christ in this season. John chapter 1:12 says, but all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's a privilege. There is one passage in the Bible that I really love, and I think you can read it. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, which says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. This became so evident when Christ came. And this hit different for those who didn't have the privilege of growing up with their fathers around them. Or those who grew up in dysfunctional families where the father was absent or disabled or for some reason he could not cater for the family. It also hit different for those who maybe had or are having a difficult relationship with their father. Because no matter what the culture may be selling us these days, fathers are the first reference point in the lives of every child. Fathers are the first reference point in the life of every child. They are not only the protectors, they are the primary provider in the family. And add to that the fact that we all want to model our lives after somebody. And by default, it's our parents, specifically our fathers, because we don't want to neglect as well the tremendous role of our mothers. And I've seen so many young men and women who are confused about their identity, easily deceived because of the absence of their fathers. And I know what it feels like when you hear others talking about how their fathers did this and that for them. And you are there on your own trying to figure out you have inherited so much responsibility prematurely. I know what it feels like When others are telling you, you know, my dad is planning to send me to that school, such and such school, and here you are figuring out things for yourself. And for others, it could also be that the father was very responsible or abusive. But on this day, let us be reminded today that we have a heavenly Father. Because Christmas is also a reminder of that. The coming of Christ in the flesh is a reminder that when we are redeemed by Jesus, when we welcome him and acknowledge him for who he is and the work he accomplished and believe in his name, we are adopted into God's family. God becomes our fathers. And we are co-heir with Christ with every spiritual blessing that is bestowed on him. And so everything that a father can do to us, God does it for us when we receive Christ. Protection, provision, guidance, forgiveness, acceptance. We find all this with our heavenly Father. Because God is the perfection of our earthly Father. And he's even more than that, because he not only secure our lives on this side of eternity, but he also secure our eternal lives. Amen? And so John goes on and tell us about how do we become children of God. And this is where things get even more interesting. The second point of our message this morning is the process of becoming God's children. Verse 13 says, these children, those who welcomed him, they were not born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, Sometimes, in order to truly know something, we need to know what it's not. Sometimes. And that's what John is using here. John, in order to describe to us who the children of God are, he proceeds to telling us who they are not. It's not because you belong to a certain family. Lot's wife had a righteous husband, but she was lost. It's not because you came from a certain ethnicity. Remember, I talked about the entitlement of the Jews. They were so entitled in knowing that they were the chosen people that they missed the Messiah. They missed him. They even claimed that Abraham was their father and by association God. But Jesus replied to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I'm here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. But they couldn't recognize him because of entitlement. And it's not because of your personal effort. That's what John is saying. Not because of the will of man. Not because of your personal effort. It's not because of all those things that you become a children of God. That you are adopted into the family of God. Because if we talk about our own righteous act and say that because of this righteous act we can become children of God, we will know that they will be insufficient compared to the holiness of God. Isaiah says, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we proudly display our righteous deed, we find they are but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall. And our sins, like the wind, sweep us away. It's not because of all those things. It's because of the power of God. Only by the supernatural of power of God, new birth, that we become children of God. And in order to do that, God broke through history, through the coming of Christ, so that we may see him. What does God look like? And that's the third point of our message this morning, the proximity of God with humanity through the person of Christ. Because we couldn't reach God through everything that I have said there, belonging to a certain family, belonging to a certain ethnicity, our own effort. God did it himself. God moved first. And that's what John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, he tabernacled among us. He pitched a tent in our midst so that we can see who does God look like. Jesus is the most palpable revelation of God toward men. God became one like us to bring us back to himself. I am a very great fan of movies, some of you may know. And one of the things that I noticed in some of these Marvel movies is that most of these characters, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Ant-Man, Captain America, were created by one single guy. And the name of that guy was Stan Lee. And in all those movies, you can see a very old man with a mustache appearing in some scenes. He just appears in the movies. And those appearances, they are called cameo. Okay? They are called cameo. And it's like God did the same thing. God, who self-existed from eternity to eternity, he decided to do a cameo in history so that we may see him, so that we may get a full revelation of who he is. God stepped into history so that we may get close to him, so that he may bring us back to himself, so that he may bring us back to himself. He became one like us. He became a man, born of a woman, just like us. He cried in his mother's arms, just like we did. He was protected from aggressive regime, just like we are, by our Heavenly Father. He was a refugee. You know that he ran. His parents had to run in Egypt. He was hungry. He was angry. He was tired. He was sad. He suffered. He died, but death could not hold him. So name it. Name whatever situation that you are going through right now or that you can go through in life. And know that our God sympathizes with us because he knows it all. He knows it all. Amen? He knows it all. As the writer of Hebrew perfectly said it, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same temptations that we do, and yet he did not sin. Yet he did not sin. He lived the life that we could never live and died the death we deserved. The perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And all that with one purpose, and that's our last point for the message this morning. The purpose of Christ coming in the flesh. Verse 14 continues and says, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. What Moses could only see in part was revealed in its fullness through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. He revealed God's glory with grace and truth, of which the cross is one of the most beautiful expressions. Because on that cross, grace and truth collide. Grace and truth collide. Grace for the sinners who do not get what they deserve, and truth to the ignorant whose ignorance is preventing them from seeing the glory of God. He came with grace and truth, a perfect balance of grace and truth. The truth of the reality as well of God's judgment over the sins of the world. And this is the message to which we are called to bear witness, but also to embody. Because as a follower of Jesus, we are also called to bear both truth and grace. As one author rightly said it, truth without grace is condemnation, and grace without truth is compromise. So we need to have that perfect balance. And the cross of Jesus is really a perfection of that. Because he died for people who deserved to die. And he also showed that sin needed to be punished. Righteousness of God. So let me end with this anecdote. Last month I was in Nairobi and I was hosted by a very interesting family. Christians. And you know, when you connect with other Christians, it was my first time to meet these people. And we started talking because it's a newly wed couple. They've been three years through their wedding. I'm 2 years inside. And so we started talking about how we met our wives with the guy. And the guy said, you know, my wife, we were attending the same church for 20 years. I mean, for years, not necessarily 20, for years. But I've never noticed her. I only noticed her the day I started looking for a partner in life. So I've been going to this church for years and years, 10 years, 15 years, but I never knew her. I never noticed her. She did the same, and she never knew me. She never noticed him. It was until the day I started looking for a wife that I noticed her. And I believe that's a call for us today, because it's so easy to miss the Savior of the world because you don't express your need for him. You don't acknowledge that you need him in your life. Because as long as you don't acknowledge that I need a Savior, Jesus is the only one who can fulfill everything, who can fill the void, who can heal me from my sin, who can mend every broken thing in my life. As long as you do not recognize that need for the Savior, you may miss him on that Christmas and the next one and the next one. So may the Lord help us. Let us pray and ask God to help us. Father God, we thank you for your word. And we believe that on this day, even if it sounds like a cultural festive season, we believe that it has so much meaning for us who believe in you. So Lord, reveal yourself to us once more on this season. For it in your name we pray. Amen. May God bless his word.
God bless you abundantly, Brother Jeremiah. And may the Holy Spirit help us digest that word and practice it in our daily lives. Amen.